President Trump faced an unprecedented situation. As he entered into office and sought to perform his responsibilities as president, federal agents and prosecutors were scrutinizing his conduct before and after taking office and the conduct of some of his associates. At the same time, there was relentless speculation in the news media about the president's personal culpability. Yet, as he said from the beginning, there was, in fact, no collusion.
Philip Bump joins us right now on the Super Celebrity Hotline from the Washington Post. And finally, 2 years later, 440 pages comes out, and we got to try to figure the whole thing out. We have 20 minutes to figure the whole thing out. Philip, and go. what's your biggest takeaway so far?
Oh, I mean, it's hard to sort of distill down my biggest takeaway. I mean, I think the biggest is the fact that there were a number of ways in which Mueller's team apparently believed that Donald Trump had attempted to obstruct the investigation, that they declined to try and prove a criminal case to that extent, but that because they declined to prove that case, they instead determined that if they could exonerate him, they would, but they weren't able to exonerate him. And I think that the amount of information dealing with obstruction is probably more than people were anticipating.
What do you think? I mean, it's a crazy question, but What do you think of these 12 cases that have been referred out? Do you have a sense, is there any sense in Washington that those could imperil this presidency?
That's a good question. I mean, obviously, we don't necessarily know what all 12 of them are. We have some decent guesses about what some of them might be. But we don't know what they are, and so it's sort of hard to say what might be problematic for Trump. I mean, I think that if what we have right now isn't something that is going to pose great political risk to Trump beyond in the 2020 election, which I think is safe to say since the Democratic leaders appear to be reticent to try and do anything with any of the new details that just came out. I doubt that anything that comes out through one of these ancillary investigations will be something that's particularly damning, but, you know, it's hard to predict.
One of the things that I thought was most damaging in the report was how they detailed how President Trump reached out to Don McGahn, White House counsel, and said, you know, hey, you got to fire Mueller. We got to get rid of this whole thing. This investigation's got to end two times. And that, you know, McGahn pushed back, and maybe only because that this didn't go forward. How does he get past that? I mean, that seems pretty serious.
Yeah, no, it's significant. And at one point in the report, the report states that essentially part of the reason that Donald Trump didn't obstruct justice was simply because people didn't listen to him when he ordered them to do things, right? I mean, had McGahn actually moved forward with what Donald Trump was instructing, we might be in a different situation right now. So it's hard to know what the actual ramifications of those actions will be and the ramifications of these revelations will be simply because it's so politics dependent. But it's, you know, it's hard not to read into that Mueller is making a pretty specific assertion about what it is that Donald Trump did.
Yeah. There's a lot of those kinds of discussions in this report. You got him asking Michael Flynn to go out and find the emails, the Hillary Clinton emails that he claims he joked about the Russians going out to find. And then I think this is kind of an interesting thing too. The one thing that I think a lot of people are seizing on here is that the president's actual written, as they're calling home, the take-home test, you know, his assertions based on the questions that, actually, it's basically his attorney's assertions. I'm pretty sure that Rudy Giuliani stenciled it for him, and then he just, you know, drew over it. But it's kind of a... And almost every single one of them, he says he has no independent recollection of any of these things.
Right.
He lawyered all of those answers and gave them absolutely nothing.
No, that's exactly right. And, you know, the Mueller team sort of dryly notes that they considered his responses to be inadequate, which I think is an understatement. I mean, they had tried for quite some time to try and get a sit down with him. Trump's lawyers, for pretty obvious reasons, wanted him not to do that, given that would be testimony under oath and they could follow up with him and, you know, and really press him on this stuff. So he offered these responses or something like 70 odd questions and sub questions that were actually asked by Mueller's team. Trump provided, you know, substantially fewer than that actual answers, and in the vast majority of those answers, he said some version of, I don't recall, I have no recollection, so on and so forth. Some of them, I'm sure he probably doesn't recollect, you know, I mean, despite the fact that he has in the past that he has one of the great memories, but, you know, some of them, it's a little questionable.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Yeah, what about the Sarah Sanders piece? As a reporter who works in Washington, the stuff that came out about her, I thought just sort of a sidebar about how she did lie to the press on a number of occasions, saying that she's heard from a number of FBI agents who all back up the decision to fire Comey, but then later revealed to the, you know, the feds investigating the investigation that there's nothing behind that. That was a baseless claim. How does that change the relationship, if at all, between you working the press and someone who's speaking on behalf of the White House every day?
Yeah, I mean, I think that the key is the if at all. I mean, I doubt that anyone who spends a lot of time reporting on or dealing with the White House is terribly surprised to learn that wasn't the case. I mean, at the time, it was like, how on earth would Sarah Sanders have all these connections inside the FBI? I mean, at the time, people were like, that doesn't even make sense. And to learn that it actually was made up, I think doesn't really surprise anyone. I mean, look, she's gone from holding one daily press briefing a month to zero daily press briefings a month. Her relationship with the press can't get much worse than it already is.
Right.
Yeah. Well, that's probably true.
I don't think anybody's really completely worried about this. Like, oh my God, Sarah
Sanders
lied.
She does speak for the White House, and it's like, oh my gosh. I just thought, you know.
Well, White House.
Bad.
White House press secretaries haven't always been 100% truthful about everything.
And lying to the press is not illegal.
No.
I get that.
But I think that the Trump White House has made this a game with the press. I think they like to throw a lot of chaff out into the and flares out at the press so that you know, we chase these things that they want us to chase. You know, hey, look over there. We're like cats with a laser pointer is basically what we're like.
Squirrels.
No, that's true. But, I mean, it's also not the case usually that spokespeople or, you know, press secretaries have to sit down under oath and answer questions like this, right?
Right.
You know, there usually isn't a punishment for total, you know, made-up, on-the-spot nonsense. And she just happens to be in the unfortunate position of having said something at a time when she was going to face that sort of scrutiny.
I don't think America's any better off today than it was yesterday. As a matter of fact, I'm a little more worried about it today than I was even yesterday. So yeah. I know, and it's good news. There is, I don't think we can, that we just let go of the notion, it's an important one, that there is pretty much complete exoneration on the notion of collusion. Now, part of it was because it's dumb. I mean, it was like we did some dumb things. We took some dumb meetings, right? But it was, but we didn't follow up on any of it in a significant enough way, right? At least, unless there's one of those 12 other indictments that show something else. But I would imagine that would have been part of this if that were the case. So there's that. The rest of the behavior and the rest of the way that they prosecute the presidency of the United States, and I mean the Trump administration prosecutes the presidency of the United States, leaves a lot of questions in the minds of people who are worried about good governance here and responsible governance, and people who are, you know, willing to actually, you know, step up and not just threaten and not just cajole and not just like do radio stunts, which is what it always feels like to me, like the gigantic morning zoo radio stunt thing going on. Hey, you know what we're going to do? Let's bus all the immigrants up into the sanctuary cities. You know, it's sort of like, well, and we'll put our logos on the buses. It's out of control populism. And we don't pay enough attention to that right now because we're paying attention to this. So I say we just all put everything down and we deal with this like a normal presidency, and we look at the policies and we look at the actions and we focus on that now and let the whole 2016 in Russian thing lay, and let's just talk about what this means, and then we'll see how that plays out. Maybe America wants that. Maybe America wants a morning zoo running the White House. Okay, well, they'll get that choice in 2020.
I think it's, you know, obviously that there's a lot of opinion on how we move forward from here. There's a poll that actually just came out yesterday, which suggested that most Americans do feel like Congress should sort of let the Russia thing lie and move forward with it. You know, it's easier said than done. I mean, the Democratic leadership at this point doesn't seem to be inclined to do a whole lot with what Manafort with what Mueller just dropped. But, you know, it remains to be seen. And the point that I keep coming back to for folks is that, you know, there's a lot of conversation about all the Benghazi investigations and how unwarranted those were by, you know, people on the left making that claim. But from the standpoint of electoral politics, it worked. That was where we learned that Hillary Clinton had a private email server, which kicked off the FBI investigation into her, and basically, you know, with that last-minute James Comey thing, brought down Hillary Clinton's campaign, potentially, right? Democrats saw that, and they know that having these investigations, if you just keep them going, who knows what you're going to dig up. I think it's going to be hard for them to resist.
All right. Thank you very much, Phil Bump, Washington Post. Appreciate your time. Let's talk now with, let's find out from Kim what's going on in the news.